Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on A Teacher's Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Guys, today was my first day back for new teacher orientation.
Yup, see, you're already discombobulated.
I literally am so exhausted. It was a good day, though. They provided us with breakfast and lunch, and it was like Panera lunch.
Ooh, bougie.
Girl, and they give us a laptop and an iPad.
What?
And the iPad got a little keyboard.
Oh, okay.
I'm feeling like Cinderella at the ball, okay?
You just don't know what to do with yourself.
I really don't. I was like, ooh, this is nice.
What else y'all got for us?
Child, I don't know, but I'm ready for it, okay?
I think you're going to have a great year.
Me too. And I met the girls' teachers and they're so sweet. And I'm just like, oh, they're like perfect for the, like perfect for each child.
Are they not in the same class?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
No, they're never in the same class. They need to stay as far away from each other as possible.
I really appreciate that about you though, Ashley, because we had the most set of twins that we've ever had last year in our school.
Uh-huh.
And we had several sets that were like, absolutely not. Our kids will be together in every single class. And then we had one parent that was like, never put them in a class together.
100%. This happened way before they even started school. This happened back in daycare when they were like infants. They're like, they have no interest playing with other kids. They only, you know, sit there and babble and chat with each other. And I was like, well, split them up. Like,
yeah, make them.
We'll split them up. And then this summer in daycare, they were in the same classroom and I was just getting calls like, yeah, they're just not. And I was like, look, she was like, would you mind if we, I said, split them.
They're together all day.
Literally. And the minute they get back together, it's just like, this is why y'all need to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy because Skylar was telling me today, I went into Aria's room because Aria missed me or something. And then I gave her a hug and I was just like, y'all literally live together. Y'all drove here together. Y'all walked in together. Like, why?
I mean, if she, okay. You know, that's so funny that like we had one pair that were in every class together and they did not mind it. Like they were a boy-girl twins, mm-hmm. and they were always in videos together, like during class. They would, you know, make sure they were partners, that they did an assignment together. And I mean, like, I don't have a twin, but I couldn't even be with Mary that much. I'd get, like, annoyed with her. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And then we had another set. They were also boy-girl, and they wanted to be together, but the mom was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Because by the time y'all get home, you would be so sick of each other, and mm-hmm. I would have to pay the price of that.
That's a good woman, Savannah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So, it sure is, because... Mm-mm.
And then mm-mm. I have a set of boy-girl twins this year, and they're not in the same class, and they are very appreciative. The kids are actually appreciative. They're like, I'm actually myself and not so-and-so's sister or so-and-so's yeah. brother.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how Skylar is. Like, Skylar is very independent, but Aria just...
She'll get there.
Mm-hmm. She will. So, they're split this year. I mean, their classes are literally right next to each other, so you can drop her off and don't see... You will see her at lunch, and you will see her at recess.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's it. That's enough.
And in the car ride home, and at uh-huh. dinner, and mm-hmm. before bed, and during mm-hmm. bath time,
and then in the morning. Yep, and like clockwork, so y'all be all right. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You'll be all right. And they're so different too.
Yes. I was telling their teachers today, they were like, so are they like the same? I said, absolutely not. No. I've got a dainty flower and I got rough and tough over here. Like, yeah. Opposites.
Pageants, dirt.
100%. Yeah. And she would play in dirt. She likes to pick up stuff and like, mommy, I found a feather. Like, first of all, I don't know what that is because crusty.
Put it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to watch that one outside. You got to watch that one.
I'm glad that you're at this new school. I am very excited to see how this year goes. I feel in my gut that it's just going to be like the year you've always wanted.
You know, that's what I really feel like.
Uh-huh.
Like my class list has 22 kids on it. I think one of the girls' homeroom has like 16 kids in it. I was like, oh, the attention.
Oh, yeah.
That the not growth. Only my kid is going to get, but like everybody's kid mm-hmm. is going to. You know what I mean? Like, I love that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like I have another body in my classroom, like because I'm co-teaching now, so like between the 22 in my homeroom, like we can really just get it together.
I need to get you that book. It's The Art of like Co-Teaching or something. She presented at Teach Your Heart Out, and she lives in Atlanta, and she wrote this book about just how to like, you know, really dive into the co-teaching. And our school is doing a book study on it for those that are co-teaching, which I didn't get selected to co-teach this year. I co-taught last year. I loved it, but I didn't get selected this year. And that's fine. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but they are doing a book study on it. And I think that it's really paying off because it's not like it's not a stereotypical boring book. Like
yeah,
she's
something
very
dry.
Right.
It's like
she's very 21st century. Mm-hmm. She's very much like with the ideas and the implications. You know what I'm trying to say.
Implications.
Yep.
Implementation.
Implementations. That was the word. Yep.
I got you, girl.
So I think that would be a really good book. Not even, you know, if y'all just wanted to glance at it and take notes from it. Or
no,
even just
I would
100%.
I would 100% because I'm literally just like, I've never done this before, but I'm excited for it. Like, it's just a lot of new things going on this school year that I'm like, I think I've said this before. I'm normally way more off at this point. Like I've got things laminated. I've got things ready to go. I just printed like classroom theme things today.
Mm-hmm.
And our meet the teacher is next Thursday.
Oh, you can do it. The magic will come together.
It will. Like the days that the girls are at their dad's house, like I'm probably going to be there so late. Like just in there like clink, clink, clink. Like,
yeah.
It's a wrap because I can't, mm-hmm. like, until I start to see a vision, I'm going to be very overwhelmed. Like,
you'll get it. Mine came together the day of our open house, and it still wasn't together.
I mean, but it will probably look together. As a parent, they were probably like, wow, everything is done. And you were like, girl,
this is a whoa.
If you
only knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, we're going to jump into our
Estudiante Estrella.
This one definitely wins the award of most unique name. We really want a backstory on this, if you don't mind. The name is War Water.
War Water.
You war water. Water
with, you have water with the war? Like,
or is it the water you drink before the war?
Ooh, because you know you got to hydrate before you go into the war.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, War Water says best teachers ever. So you already know it's a 5-star. And the review says, Brooke and Ashley make me feel like I'm listening to my besties. They are the absolute dopest and everyone should be listening to them. Like, if you aren't, what are you doing?
Okay. Clearly you living under a rock like Patrick Starr.
There you go. Get out from under it. Because according to War Water, we're dope.
We lit.
Or as my kids say, we ate.
Oh, you ate that. Scrumptily yum yum my burper.
I wore my dress the other day and they were like, Middle, you ate that. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're that like, you know, like you ate. I'm like, yeah, I did eat lunch. Thank you so much for
The funny thing is I can literally picture you being like, I did eat. I don't know what that has to do with my outfit. Or anything.
But thank you.
Thank you for caring that I ate.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm crying. So. Oh my gosh. Well, War Water.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, Ashley, we're back with part two.
Yeah, we sure are.
Oh, all right, guys, buckle up. Sit down, shut up. Part two of the murder is about to begin.
Ahora. So, if you missed the title of today's lesson, this is the part two of the Craig Mulligan case. And if you haven't listened to part one, I highly recommend going back and listening to it, because then none of this will make sense.
Yes. You'll be very confusion.
Yeah, very. And I also have to say that this is actually going to be a three-part lesson.
Yes. Ashley texted me and she was like, so, about that part two. Yeah, I have been working on this thing for a very long time and I'm still not done. And it's very long and very lengthy and the system failed them.
100%. Like, I had no idea that I would be coming out the gate with our first multi-part episode like this. But the case, like Brooke said, has a ton of information. And I just know how I am when I get overloaded with information, because even today's example was new teacher orientation. Granted, I'm not a new teacher by any means. And the information that was pounded into my brain, I'm very overwhelmed.
Yes.
I'm very
overwhelmed. It's like Shrek said, no, donkey, it's an onion. Be an onion. There's many layers.
Oh, tons of layers. Tons of them. And as a teacher, I just hate overloading my students with information, because then they're not going to get majority of it. So I just decided to make it three parts so we were all able to take it in a bit better.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. So before I begin, let me give you all a quick recap of what was discussed in part one. On July 31st, 2021, in Bridgend, South Wales, a tragic incident unfolded when 5-year-old Logan Mwangi was reported missing by his mother, Angharad Williamson. Despite a rapid response by police officers, Logan's lifeless body was found in the River Ogmore, only 250 yards from his home. The discovery revealed a shocking sequence of events. Logan, a bright and kind-hearted boy, had suffered a multitude of injuries consistent with severe abuse. His tragic death prompted the arrest of three individuals, Angharad Williamson, John Cole, Angharad's partner, and 13-year-old Craig Mulligan, John's stepson. Investigation into the trio's background unveiled a troubling history marked by violence, racism, and behavioral issues. Craig, whose unstable behavior was repeatedly disregarded by authorities, harbored animosity towards Logan. Now that we're all caught up to speed, trigger warnings for part two are abuse of a child and murder of a child.
I already don't like this.
Yeah, it's just not a good time. It's really not.
No.
Based on everything discussed in part one, it's very apparent that Angharad was putting on one hell of a show for that 999 call, but it didn't stop there. When police first arrived at the home in response to the 999 call, they recall the dryer was running, and in it was Logan's bedsheets that were washed and dried to hide evidence of the crime. Also, according to one source, once she was notified of Logan's death, Angharad started crying hysterically and even had a seizure, which caused her to collapse. John was present during this time and apparently was silent, but did assist Angharad once she fell. Craig was also in the home during this time and was playing Call of Duty, completely unfazed by everything going on around him. He even was heard shouting, "You're effing adopted," while he was being shot at in the game.
Okay, so here's some things. First of all, mm-hmm. you were acting so hard you gave yourself a seizure.
I don't know. I feel, and I'm not sure if she suffered from a condition, but I'm just like, sis.
But knowing what we know, it's like, I don't feel bad for you. And not that I don't ever have sympathy for epileptic people, but mm-hmm. like knowing what she just did, and like she is maybe, like if I had to imagine, I was not there, but I would feel like she's making herself hyperventilate, mm-hmm. which can like cause all of these things. And then why are the sheets in the dryer? Like, why? Yeah. And also, if you didn't see the photos on Instagram from part one, I just want to say, for the record, John Cole is no spring chicken.
He is not. He looks very saggy. And
he is not even a spring turkey. He's not a spring dove.
He's not a spring nothing.
He's honestly a spring absolutely nothing.
What's the opposite of spring? Sprung? I don't know. He's something. He's something. That's winner. All I gotta say.
A winner. He's a winner.
He's
a winner pheasant.
He's a winner bear.
Yeah, that's what it was because, and him, I can just imagine him literally just standing there with his arms crossed, just like, okay, when are y'all gonna leave? And a red flag that this kid, I get that empathy is not fully developed in a teenager's mind, but you're allowing your child to sit there in the living room with tons of policemen after your stepbrother's body has just been discovered and you're just allowing him to play Call of Duty. Okay, because that's completely normal.
Yeah, it's just, and just wait till I get into the rest of the stuff because it's just, this ain't even it. After arriving at the hospital, Aang Harrod was observed by a nurse saying that she wished she had taught Logan how to swim. A direct quote from one of the sources states the following. She also appeared to be performing and giving attention to Logan's body, but only when the nurses were watching.
Absolutely. Because that's the only time the cameras were flashing.
She even went as far as making sure the hospital staff were watching as she kissed Logan on his forehead.
Sickening.
She's just the worst. So she is just keeping up this charade as a grieving mother, like up until the wheels fall off. Aang Harrod's mother and Logan's grandmother, Claire Williamson, came to the hospital after hearing the news about Logan. She later stated the following. She was very concerned for Logan. I found it quite strange. She kept tucking him up with blankets and worrying he was cold. She talked about his funeral.
So, like, Aang Harrod's mom's even like, you're being weird.
100%.
Like, something's not adding up. You don't even mother like this when he was alive.
And she really don't. And like I said, we'll get into that. She really wasn't that type of mom. When speaking to the police at the hospital, Aang Harrod told them that they should arrest her because she was unable to keep Logan safe. Detective Constable Claire Edwards stated the following. Although she did seem to be wailing a lot, making noises from crying or sobbing, there were very little or no tears during the time I was with her. Now, we've said it many times before. Everyone grieves differently. However, we know this woman is involved. So the fact that she's really pretending to be sad and going over the top for something that she was involved in is like the most disgusting thing I could ever even.
And I don't want to give her any credit, but like, she genuinely fooled me on the 911 call.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I did see a comment that someone was like, oh, I knew it from the 911 call. And when I tell you, Brooke, was, y'all heard it. She was like, oh, this mother, she is so sad. No, yes, she's a liar.
She got me. She got me.
Oh, man. Benjamin, Logan's dad, was at work in Essex when police officers came to see him at around 2:30 p.m. He initially thought something was seriously wrong with his father because he hasn't been well lately. However, after receiving a no from the police after he asked it if it was about his father, his thoughts went instantly to his son. Benjamin's account on finding out about Logan's death went as followed. I said, please tell me this isn't anything to do with Logan. And then they told me Logan had passed away. I was hysterical and fell to the floor. I left work without telling anyone what had happened and police took me home.
I think like a mother instinct, I think that he genuinely wanted to be with his kid.
100%.
And we saw that and we heard that in part one. And I think that he just sensed like, something's not right here. Like something's wrong, and by all accounts I'm sure he felt like it had to do something with Aang Harrod.
Yeah, I mean, she just seemed off. Like, this man wanted to be involved and you were like preventing him from seeing his son. Like,
yeah, you moved there for 2 months and then you moved away
and you were like, all right, this ain't working for me, bye. Like,
yeah,
girl, you think I would voluntarily be a single mom? this is hard.
Exactly.
A few people observed Aang Harrod, John, and Craig's odd behavior after Logan's death. On August 1st, prior to getting arrested, Claire visited her daughter. She later would reveal in court that during the visit, Aang Harrod told her that she wouldn't be surprised if she and John got arrested since it happened while Logan was in their care. She also observed Craig acting weird, and when she and Claire were talking about Logan in the kitchen, Craig came in and stated, "For God's sakes, he's dead."
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Did we inconvenience you with our talk of a dead child?
Like,
I'm so sorry that we inconvenienced you in your time. Did you want to get in the refrigerator and make a sandwich?
Like, did you really think that because he was now no longer there that you would get all the attention? Like,
oh my God, this kid. He can go shovel dirt.
He's the worst. And you saw his little picture. He just,
he ain't no spring chicken either.
He sure ain't.
Mm.
I'm not sure when this happened exactly, but on another occasion, Jody Simmons and her then-boyfriend Daniel O'Brien visited Ang Harrod. Daniel stated that she said that she missed punishing Logan and telling him to stand in the corner.
Out of all the things that your son did, amazing, and all the good things that his teacher said about him, his grandmother said about him, his father said about him...
Mm-hmm.
That's what you miss.
You miss punishing him and telling him to stand in the corner.
What is wrong with this woman?
Everything, everything. Daniel was equally as shocked as me and looked at Jody and shook his head. He went on to say that John was heaving a lot like he was going to throw up.
Because maybe like guilt.
Guilt.
Sounds like a hefty serving of guilt.
Mm-hmm. Craig, on the other hand, was dandy as ever. Daniel described Craig as being happy, kind of like he was celebrating, which further shocked him. Jody went on to say the same, that Craig seemed happy. She stated the following, he wanted to size Dan up. He stood there with fists up and his chest out as if to say, come on. He was smiling, laughing, as if he was celebrating. I asked him to pipe down and go back in the living room, and he did.
This is a grown man.
No, this is Craig.
No, I know, but he's sizing up a man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A grown man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That came over to check on your stepmother and stepfather.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're gonna... okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got that right. Yes. Indeed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if it were me interpreting the situation, it seems like something gave Craig some confidence out of nowhere.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I feel like he was always a bully and always, yes. You know, but I feel like he definitely had a sense of like empowerment.
Can't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
John reached out to his childhood friend, Darren Casely, and asked if he'd heard about what happened in Bridgend, and went on to inform him that it was Logan who was involved. He then bursted into tears and said the following, I brought him up since he was a baby. What was I supposed to do? Now, anyone in their right mind would think that he was talking about who?
Well, like I brought him up since he's a baby and he's like asking for sympathy. That would be Logan.
Yes. Well, the lie detectors would determine that that was a lie because he was indeed referring to Craig in that statement.
So
no remorse for Logan,
mm-hmm.
but for someone who's involved in Logan's death.
And you feel, okay.
Like, and Darren also was like, oh, he must be talking about Logan. But like, he was in all actuality when he said this, he was talking about Craig.
Well, he didn't bring Logan up from diapers.
Mm-hmm. But he did with Craig.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He had been around since Craig. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Logan was young, but he was... When did he come?
Yeah, but Logan knew his dad, you know, like... Mm-hmm. And then 100%. His mom had that very quick marriage.
Yes.
That. With a nobody, and the ink wasn't even dry, and they were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, we already know that Ang Harrod, John, and Craig are the monsters responsible for Logan's death. However, at the time, police really didn't have anything to help them get closer to Logan's killer. So they began looking through CCTV footage. And that's what busted this case wide open.
I'm telling you, the way the UK and other countries use their CCTV footage.
Yeah, I feel like we need to incorporate that around here 100%.
And I wonder if we use it and it's just not as like well known as like, because they'll like bring CCTV footage into court mm-hmm. in other countries.
Yeah, because I'll scroll on TikTok and I'll see random like feeds of like towns,
uh-huh,
or like busy cities, and I'm just like, all right,
okay. I feel like I'm spying, but okay.
Okay, what you doing over there? Going to get McDonald's? Okay, that's a cheeseburger. Like,
you know, like I your feel, skirt, girl. It's yeah, cute.
I feel a little stalky, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, our FBI agents are doing that to us.
Yeah, right now. Hey.
Yeah. How y'all doing? Mm-hmm.
We're good. Just talking about murder, not committing it. Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think that we need to be utilizing it more. I mean, absolutely. I don't know if it's a privacy thing here in the U.S. I don't really know all the laws to that, but like, look how many cases it's solidified. And even yeah. like this one, you haven't even told us yet, but I know that like you just said, it busted it wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So.
CCT footage near Angharad's home caught John and Craig leaving the home at around 2:43 a.m. on July 31st, 2021. According to one source, John looked to be carrying an object that looked like a light cross on his back. It was later determined that these were Logan's arms. So I'm guessing, like, I was trying to imagine what it would look like. And I just imagine, like, his arms were, like, the way they fell, it made it look like a cross. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So he just, like, chunked him on his back.
That's what I was assuming. I feel like he just, like, threw him over his shoulder type
thing. John Cole was a big man.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I mean, so was the little one, too.
Yeah, they both. Mm. Once the two left the home, footage caught the light in Logan's room being turned on and then off by Angharad. According to one source, the light in the room was seen being turned on and off again multiple times. CCT footage caught John and Craig walking along the path next to the river before dumping Logan's body near a sewage pipe and a railroad bridge. The two returned to the house at around 2:50 a.m. and left again around 3:15 a.m. They returned around 3:27 a.m.
So they're literally seen doing the dumping of the body.
I'm not sure if it caught them dumping, but I know it caught them walking along the path. I don't know. Like this.
Well,
is
it
just,
caught them walking where he was found.
I think so.
I mean, like the same river.
I don't know
though.
If it caught them on the path and then the path went off somewhere and then they dumped him and then he came out. I wasn't sure because
yeah, but why are you place. Out there at 2 something in the morning?
We gonna get into that. Best believe. We will. At this point, Angharad, John, and Craig had been arrested. As you probably guessed, Angharad is still keeping up the charade at the time of her arrest. She's screaming and crying, and at one point she says, "I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. I've asked you for help, and you're arresting me." And then when she hears that Craig is being arrested as well, she says, "Craig, you've done nothing."
He killed your son.
He sure did. He sure
the
did.
The one you carried for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Being who she is, Angharad also asked if the press was present and then asked to, like, leave the home.
Because she loves attention. We established that in part one. Like,
she sure
this
does.
Woman loves some freaking attention.
Mm-hmm. Craig, on the other hand, remember, he's happy. He's basically celebrating what he did. So when he's getting arrested, he says, "Get the F out of my way. Get the F out of my way."
Because you're just a Betty Badass. Is that what mm-hmm. it is? Because, yeah, because you just think you're so big and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And finally, we have John. The man who was observed practically dry heaving, right? So when he got arrested, he literally only said, "What?" And then started breathing all hard and heavy and just accepted his fate.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like John was like the type to like talk all this talk. And then when it boiled down to it and it actually happens.
He a punk.
He's like, "Oh God, oh God, oh God."
Yeah, he's a big baby punk.
Yeah.
Because there's even footage of him, like the arrest. I mean, I couldn't see Craig because I guess at the time, like his stuff wasn't.
Out.
Yeah. But like. You can see Angharad. She's like at the bottom of the step and she's like screaming and she's just like, "I asked you for help." Da-da. And you're just like, "Ma'am, ma'am." And then John is literally like, "What?"
And then can't breathe.
And like literally is just like looking around. Like that's literally all he said.
Because he's like, "I didn't sign up for this."
Mm-hmm. Angharad blamed everything on John. When she was in police custody, she stated the following: my partner beat him and I was trying to deal with it myself. She went on to state how she wished she never met John and how he and Craig ruined her life.
I thought it was her Prince Charming. I thought everything was perfect.
But he ruined your life? Oh, okay.
And he beat your child?
Oh, okay. You just was trying to handle it yourself? Oh, okay.
I think our definitions of perfect are very different there.
Oh. Now, Angharad had multiple police interviews, and by the fifth one, miraculously, her story changed.
Oh, weird.
She stated that both John and Craig attacked Logan on July 29th, which was 2 days prior to his death. It's important to note that she previously stated that she had no idea how Logan obtained any of his injuries. Oh. During this attack, Angharad claimed that John punched him a couple of times in the stomach because he was lying about something and couldn't get the words out due to him having a stutter.
You punched... Oh... My God.
Yeah.
Oh, the hatred. And you're not supposed to hate, but good Lord.
She said that she told him to stop because he was being too harsh on Logan, and John responded with, "The only way this boy understands is pain." She said that she told him to stop again and that they had a massive row, which essentially means that they had a huge argument about it. She goes on to say that she should have reported it, but really thought that Logan was okay and didn't know that he had been hit that hard. But you were right there.
It doesn't matter if he got hit with a pillow. Your significant other, who has no relations to this child, is beating this child.
Yep. And the fact that you told him to stop means that you were uncomfortable with what he was doing. You feel me? Like,
right.
Regardless, if you didn't think he was, you thought that what he was doing was too harsh and you told him to stop. So at that point, report him.
Mm-hmm.
Send him to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Angharad also revealed that she was scared of John and was terrified that he would have had her killed if she told someone what he had done. She stated the following: Jay's in the SAS. For those that don't know, SAS is the Special Air Service, which is a special force unit in the British Army. I mean, I don't really recall him being in that from my research earlier. Could be wrong. Eh.
Maybe she's just putting him up on a pedestal. Or maybe it was a lie that he told her.
It could. I mean, it seems like his MO, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He would have had me killed. He said he would have me killed. He told me he was a part of the SAS and his family had connections everywhere. He said his parents were founding members of the SAS. He said I could not leave him, and if I left because of Logan, he would kill him. I'm terrified of him. I saw him punch him in the stomach in the hallway, and he went flying. That's how he got the carpet burn.
But you still don't think you should report it.
Mm-hmm.
But he punched him so hard he went flying, quote, mm-hmm. flying, and got a carpet burn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then again, you also said that you had no idea how he got these injuries.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, John Cole didn't, his, you know, bull crap. Your family didn't found nothing. You sound like trash.
Yeah. Like, you sound like you live in a dumpster.
Like,
you are Oscar the Grouch and you live in a trash can. 100%. As for Craig, Angharad claimed that he swept Logan's legs and punched him to the floor, which John encouraged him to do. She stated the following: he called Craig over and said, if he flinches one more time while I'm talking to him, have him, and said, sweep and punch, as they both did martial arts.
So he was encouraging it, which Mulligan was enjoying because of his violent tendencies anyways.
And we know that John was a racist and already felt a type of way towards Logan, so... As a mother, I'm just having a very hard time understanding how she was able to stand by and watch this happen, and why it's taken you 5 interviews with the police to reveal what really happened. Granted, I've never been in a situation like this, but one thing I do know for sure and one thing for certain is that no man will ever put their hands on my children and I'm just going to stand around and watch. I will never put them in that situation. It's a no for me.
You would have to go through me. Yeah. I mean, you're going to you're not getting them. You're not getting them. And to get to them, I'm going to have to be dead or unconscious.
Like, you are not putting your hands on my child. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. And I know domestic violence causes people to become scared of their aggressor and lets things happen out of fear. But not me. Not I said a cat. It won't be me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a wrap. Point blank, period.
But also, a lot of women, they will take the abuse because they don't want it to ever get to their child. You know what I mean? Like, because there's so many situations, too, where women will keep their kids from being the abused and they'll just take it.
But it's like that, even that wasn't happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
he didn't, you know, he wasn't abusing her.
From what I can understand, I don't, in my research, I didn't see anything with him abusing her, but she made it seem with her statement, like, if I left, he was gonna kill me and get me killed. So, like,
but she could just be saying that.
And he also had, like, battery charges or assault charges, you know, in his long rap sheet. So I honestly wouldn't put it past him that he was putting his hands on her, honestly.
Yeah. Roughing her up.
Mm-hmm. Being the stand-up stepdad he is, John pretty much told the police that it was Craig who murdered Logan once he was in police custody.
Oh, my gosh. Dad of the year right there. Mm-hmm. Give it up.
Awards. Give it to him.
And Craig, you know, that's your idol. Mm. I don't know if you knew it or not, but that's your idol. He just threw you under the bus.
You sure did. His exact words. The thing is, I didn't kill Logan. I heard Craig reciting a rap song saying, I like kids, I like kids, I want to punch them and kick them. I've got a good moral dilemma. Do I go down for murder or protect my son?
Oh, well, like, it seems as though you want to throw him under the bus.
Yeah. So none of those choices.
Yeah, you chose the neither.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Now, I'm unclear if this was a separate police interview or the same one, but one source stated that John said that he was awoken by Ang Harrod and she told him that Logan had died from a freak accident. He stated the following. I woke up to Ang Harrod screaming, he's dead. Logan's dead. He was lying on his back with his head to the side in a weird position. His eyes were wide open. I moved his head and it flopped and there was no response. I tried to perform CPR and blew in his mouth and held his nose. There was no pulse. I did this for ages, like 10 to 15 minutes. Ang Harrod was frantic and hyperventilating. I was desperate to save him. Eventually I stopped and she said, he's dead. He's dead. There's nothing I could do. Ang Harrod said she could hear him taking his last breath. He also stated the following. I didn't hit him in the tummy and didn't see Ang Harrod hit him in the stomach. He had been jumping around all day and it had been a difficult day. Both of us grabbed him and took him to the bedroom. I wish to make it clear I don't know what happened, if anything, after I fell asleep after midnight. I don't believe Ang Harrod would have hit him. We were both guilty of getting frustrated with him and grabbing him and smacking him. Ang Harrod smacked him earlier that day, but missed and caught him on the cheek.
Where were you trying to smack him?
But they also, like, admitted, like, we're both guilty of getting frustrated with him and grabbing him and smacking him.
Okay.
If you're admitting to that, admitting that you're literally getting frustrated with him, putting your hands on him, smacking him, what's not to say that you could also go as far to murdering him?
And then also you contradict that and you say, well, I don't think Ang Harrod would hurt him.
I don't think she would have hit him, even though you saw her earlier that day smacking him in the face.
That's hitting him.
That's literally the opposite, like, of what you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Unheard of.
And then what does this rap song have to do with anything?
And what? Like, just because he was singing a song, he said that? Or did he make up that song? Like, I'm not.
Right. His story, really sure. John Cole's story is all over the place. I feel like he was just grabbing for straws at that point, and he was like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and sprinkle on top.
Yeah, he's very discombobulated. Now,
and I also side note, I don't believe that he gave Logan CPR for 10 to 15 minutes.
I would never believe that.
No.
With everything I know about this man, that is
absolutely not. It's the last thing you would. Yeah.
I mean, you're literally like dry heaving. Like you're going to throw up because you're riddled with guilt.
You're also seen carrying the body out of the house. If you were really that concerned in saving him and you really did give him CPR for 10 to 15 minutes, why didn't you call 9999?
Your guess is as good as mine. And finally, we have Craig. In his police interview, he told the police that he had no parts of Logan's death and believed that John was fly-tipping rubbish when he followed him to the riverbank. For all of you non-UKers like myself, fly-tipping means dumping trash illegally. Craig stated the following to the police. I woke up in the middle of the night. Then Dad come into the living room with me. I know we weren't meant to do it, but we grabbed some of the rubbish in the back garden and we chucked it in the river. It was all in black bags and everything. I don't know what was in the bags. I can't remember. Then about 20 minutes after, we went back to check whether they had gone down. We didn't say anything. We were trying to be as quiet as we can because we didn't want to wake Logan or Ang Harrod. I don't know whether Logan was still there at that point because we didn't look.
Hold on. So at 3 in the morning.
Yep.
You decided now is the time I'm going to take the trash to the river.
Yep. Go ahead.
3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is John Cole going to take the trash to the river at 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's going to go downstairs to the living room and wake his 13-year-old son and be like, hey,
I need your help.
I got to take the trash out right now at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to get up and do it.
And also, there was no mention that Logan was found in a bag. Just want to make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
No mention that he was found in a bag. He was literally laying in the river. So you're making up these bags and making it seem as though we were just throwing trash at 2 o'clock in the morning because that's what good old people do. Sir, you are a little boy and that is the grown man. What does he need you bodyguarding him to throw some trash in the river?
Also, just take the trash out to the side of the road.
Like, I just...
Yeah. It doesn't it make sense because it's not.
It doesn't at all. He goes on to say that Ang Harrod was up that night acting hysterical. And when he tried to go into Logan's room, he was stopped from opening the door. I'm not sure what number police interviews this is for him, but police asked him why he didn't include this information in his first interview with them. He stated the following. Yes, the reason I said no was because I thought it was a dream. When you said it, it must have happened because the same thing happened in my dream. So it must not have been a dream. I was just trying to get in. I was trying to see because I heard Williamson say, he's dead. And I wanted to see if he was okay, and he weren't. A dream.
So you thought you were dreaming?
So you believe this was a dream, and then when the police said it, you was like, oh, snap, it's not a dream. It's real life. I'm going to give you that information.
I'm really sitting here in a police station. I got arrested.
Like, who are you trying to fool?
Well, he's 13. I mean, like, he's gaslighting these policemen, thinking that they're going to believe him.
But I'm just like nothing's making sense.
I know.
Black bags. There was no bags on the scene, my guy. He wasn't found in a bag.
Yep. But then John Cole's story is not making sense. And then Ann Harrod's story is not making sense.
I feel like if I had to choose one person's story who was kind of believable, it would be Ann Harrod's.
Yeah, because there was definitely abuse. It would be the most believable
out of all three. You know what I mean? Because
you have to account for the injuries that he had and that Logan had. And
yes,
Ang Harrod's account of the night is the only story where there was that severe of a beating taking place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, granted, I don't know if she's telling the truth. I have no idea. But if I had to pick one to believe, it would be hers.
Yes.
Like, and not in its entirety, because it's just like, oh, stop hitting my son. Girl.
Yeah.
if for all of this, if that was to happen, why on earth would you call 999 in the morning acting like he was missing? You know what I mean? Correct. Like, especially when he was 250 yards from your home.
And your two other boys are out taking out trash at 3 a.m. You don't find that suspicious?
Like, that is very suspicious. Very weird. Mm. Craig stated that he and John never attacked Logan like Ang Harrod said. At the end of his interview, he was asked if he wanted to add anything. And boy, did he have something to say.
So he just decided last second, I'm just going to add in some stuff.
Craig stated the following. Can you tell my mom to F off for me? She's blaming me and my dad for everything, and we haven't done anything. I'm sick of this. She's saying what she wants to get out of the effing cells.
First of all, she's not your mother. Second of all, he's not your daddy.
You know.
And, you know, I get it. He raised him, whatever. I gotcha. But go tell her. What is wrong with this kid?
Yo, everything is wrong with him. Like, I just, and like, there's video of him saying that, and it's just like the most dramatic thing. Like, he's like, actually, can you, and he's like, tell her F off and da da da. And I'm like, oh my guy.
Wow.
My guy.
Who hurt you?
They're like, baby. I mean, his mom.
And his biological dad. He ran away, but.
Yup.
I mean,
And that, Estudiantes, is part numero dos of the Craig Mulligan case.
And what are you going to bring us for part three?
Well, it's part three and it's final. That's it. We're done after part three. It's a done bun. But we're going to talk about how child services failed this family. We're going to talk about the trial. And we're going to talk about, because, you know, Craig was a minor when this happened. So
right.
I did find some sources that talked about how they want to proceed with cases like this involving children in the future.
Well, you know, the last case that we talked about with the UK and minors is they like to do that whole anonymity thing. And they like to put them in basically hotels and rehabilitation centers and not necessarily prison, which we can agree to disagree. We can go back in pros and cons, and I'm sure there are pros and cons to everyone's system out there. But I'm hoping that just with Craig's history, that they take into account the, like, this kid's going to continue to hurt people, and he was going to hurt people regardless if it was Logan or not.
100%.
And I'm hoping that the courts, when you bring us part three, that is evident.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, and I also get into like some more of the evidence that was found and things like that as well.
Okay.
So, we actually didn't talk about when this episode is actually, like, when the next one is going to release. So are we releasing three right after this one, like the following Monday?
I think we should. Doing like,
yeah.
Don't make them wait again.
Okay. I mean, okay. So we'll be back next Monday.
Yeah.
For part three.
And we're going to wrap it on up.
And we sure are, because I am about done with this horrible tragedy.
And this horrible family.
And these horrible people.
Ugh.
I'm just through with them. So as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
Oh, we do.
So we will see you on Monday.
With part three, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.